We are to give unto Him thanks every day. Lord, being my helper this morning, still want to try to continue to look into the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, the most famous and blessed sermon ever preached by the most famous preacher who ever lived, God Himself, manifest in the flesh. In the Sermon on the Mount, we find Jesus teaching about kingdom living, how that we have to obey His Word from the heart and not just from the lips of our words, but it should be and must be from the heart. Last Sunday we were looking at the golden rule, do unto others as we would have them do unto us, in Matthew 7 verse 12, and then in verses 13 and 14, we see that Jesus presents two ways of living. And there is the straight gate and there is the broad gate. Many of us as God's children, I'm sad to include myself occasionally, many occasions actually, stray away from God and go into the broad gate and the broad way that leads to destruction. But we need to enter into God's kingdom in this life through the straight and narrow gate that leads unto life. But yet He said, few there be that find it. But we realize again, that's not talking about eternal heaven, but it's talking about finding peace and joy, the joys of our salvation while we live in this life. That's what the kingdom of God is. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, 17. But now today, in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, Jesus warns us against false prophets or false teachers who would lead us astray. But even a broader context here, the subject really is we are to be fruit inspectors. Fruit inspectors. Because He says in two verses, by their fruits you shall know them, in verse 20. So hear the reading of God's Word, Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. For do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for Jesus, who is the living Word, and for the Holy Spirit, who inspired men to pen Your Word in print, so that we might have it today. Father in heaven, again, be with those on our prayer list. I also forgot to mention Brother Brian Williamson, the brother of Lisa Dodds, who is struggling with cancer. Bless him and his family, Lord. Lisa and her family, all that family, the family Brian Williamson. Bless Sister Sharon Mitchell and Sister Bertie Brannon and all others, Brother Billy Morgan. And Heavenly Father, I pray that we, Your people, would repent of our sins, turn to You in faith, that You may bless Your people once again, and then, because of that blessing, that You would bless our nation to be great once again. Now, Heavenly Father, may Your Word have free course in our hearts and lives, and may we come into worship and then go out to serve. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So he teaches that we are to try and test the words that are spoken to us by so-called prophets or teachers of God's Word. Because other scriptures, Paul himself said that there are indeed many false prophets gone out into the world. There were false teachers all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament alike. And we find that we are to have a discerning spirit. Paul, in the book of Acts, told us in 17 that we need to be like the noble Bereans who studied God's Word to find out whether the things that were spoken to them were true or not. Whether those that spoke the Word of God were speaking from the Lord or from their own mind and their own hearts and selves. Even in the Old Testament, God gave commands concerning false prophets. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, listen to these words. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, the first five verses are labeled here as the test of false prophets. Deuteronomy 13, beginning in verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams who gives you a sign and a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake to you, saying, let us go after other gods, little g, other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. If there come a teacher, a prophet, or a dreamer among you with signs and wonders, teaching you to serve and go after other gods other than the one true and living God, then thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or of that dreamer of dreams, because for the Lord your God proves you. He is testing us. He tests our obedience. He also tests our knowledge and understanding of what is right and what is wrong. For you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Oftentimes, God will test our devotion to Him. I've always said, an untested faith is an insufficient faith. If our Christian life is not tested and tried, even the Lord can use false teachers to prove us whether we be in the faith or not. Always remember, God teaches, Paul taught, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that commandment to study the Word of God is for all of God's children, not just for the ministers who stand up behind a pulpit to preach. It's incumbent on all of us to study God's Word, to meditate in it every day, not just to know what's true and what's right, but that we might use it and apply it in our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 4 of 13 Deuteronomy, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. Just like a marriage. You know, and Paul says that the church, the body of Christ, is the bride of Christ. And that Jesus is our spiritual husband. And we're to cleave to Him. Just like the bride cleaves to her husband. And that prophet or that dreamer shall be put to death, that false prophet or teacher. Why? Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. So shalt thou put evil away from your midst. So when Jesus teaches here in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets and teachers. We have to test what's being said and what's being taught, what's being written, whether it be true or not. But they'll come to us like wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, as I'm reading commentaries about this in the context of it, remember that Jesus told them to beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. In other places, in Matthew 23, Jesus described the Pharisees as looking beautiful on the outside, but being full of dead men's bones on the inside. And I want to look in Matthew 23 in just a moment, but they were as wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, I said that my title of the message is probably that we are to be fruit inspectors. Now, God has never called us to decide whether any person is His child or not. That's God's business. And we have no business trying to make a judgment about whether a person, anybody, is a child of not or is a child of God or not. That's God's business. But we are to inspect the fruit that comes out of people's lives. And we are, as Jesus said in John chapter 7, to judge righteous judgment and to discern according to the fruit of our own lives and others, those things that are right and wrong. There are things God's Word calls sin, sin, calls a spade, a spade. And so we have no right to say otherwise. And so he says, even those scribes and Pharisees, they were like wolves in sheep's clothing because remember that they added to God's law hundreds of laws that were not found in the law of Moses. And look in Matthew 23. Jesus spoke to the multitudes and also to His own disciples in Matthew 23, saying that these scribes and these Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. And many of them were indeed, Jesus described, as false prophets. Although, many of them, of course, certainly believed, although they were deceived in their heart. And their minds and eyes were blinded, that they did not see Jesus as the anointed Christ, the coming Messiah. He says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Now they taught many good things, many good works. But it's like Jesus is saying, you can do those good things. And the Pharisees themselves might say, do as I say, but not as I do. Now that's the very definition of a hypocrite, isn't it? Do as I say, but not as I do. They knew right from wrong, but yet they desired power and authority and glory and adulation unto themselves. For it says that, observe what they say, but do not you after their works, for they say and do not. They may say some good things, but yet they don't practice what they preach. It's always been said, and so very true, I would rather see a sermon lived in a life than preached from behind a pulpit. The sermon lived in obedience to God, our life, is the best sermon we can preach. But he says, they bind heavy burdens to be borne on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move one of those burdens with their fingers. You know, they bound heavy burdens of law upon the people, but they themselves would not even obey it. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and those were headbands that they put on their foreheads that had scriptures on them, and enlarge the borders of their own garments, again, putting scriptures on them, loving the uppermost rooms at feast and the chiefest seats of the synagogues. But he says, don't be likened unto them, for they say and they do not. So we find here many teachings that we have to be aware of concerning false prophets. But he says in verse 16, a rhetorical question. First of all, he says, you shall know them by their fruits. Now again, we cannot judge whether anyone's a child of God or not. That's not our business. But we can inspect the fruit that comes out of people's lives, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, if we're a child of God, we have two natures. We have the nature of God living in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit, but we still have the sinful nature of this old corrupt flesh. Now, so we have the ability, having those two natures, having the inner man of God's Spirit, but still having the corrupt flesh to deal with. So sometimes we can bear good fruit, sometimes we can bear bad fruit. But I'll tell you this, they're mutually exclusive. If we are following after the Spirit, then we cannot bear evil fruit. And vice versa, if we're following after the flesh, we cannot bear good fruit. So, by their fruits, you shall know them. And so, a good indication, we're not judging whether we're children of God or not. A good indication is, if you can see from time to time, both good fruits of the Spirit, and at other times, sinful fruit of the world, that's a good indication that you're born again. Because sometimes we're following after the Spirit, and other times we yield ourselves to the flesh. But he asked a question, do men gather grapes of thorns, or do they gather figs of thistles? Of course not. Thorns and thistles don't bear fruit. They're virtually dead. Even so, verse 17, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Now, again, think about it. And let's pray right now to rightly divide this word of truth. Now, those, of course, that are not God's children, whomever they are, God knows, they only bring forth corrupt and evil fruit, because they have not the Spirit of Christ in their heart. But we as His children, If you feel yourself to be born again, a child of God, the good tree is the inner man. And that corrupt tree represents the flesh that is still in sin. Every good tree brings forth good fruit. The Spirit of God in us brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. But a corrupt tree brings forth evil or bad fruit. Another way I like to think of this is, are we bringing forth healthy fruit? Is our life spiritually healthy or spiritually unhealthy? Are we spiritually nourished on the good, helpful diet of God's Word? Or do we indulge ourselves more in the unhealthy food of the world in which we live? Again, when we're walking after the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, walk after the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when we're walking after the Spirit, we are that good tree. And we will bring forth good fruit. Then what is that fruit? Paul tells us in Galatians 5:22-23. We have no room to doubt what that good fruit is. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit singular, it is one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that comes from the inner man. It is love, number one. Love is a supreme fruit. The love that God has shown us and given to us. And the two commands that we have talked of recently. Remember the scribe, the lawyer, asked Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus says the first one is that thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And the second one is like to the first one, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. And on these two laws hinge or hang all of God's law and the prophets. And it is the very key to the golden rule that we spoke of last Sunday. Doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. So love is supreme. To love God supremely and each other dearly. It is love, joy, peace. That's the kingdom. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Gentleness. Goodness and faith and faithfulness. Meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. There is no law against living out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we who belong to Christ, I'm paraphrasing what it says there, and they that are Christ, we who belong to Christ, we have crucified the flesh with its affections and with its lusts, to the point that we then can bring forth good fruit and not evil fruit. For if we live in the Spirit, let us then also walk in the Spirit. He said back in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Do you remember the occasions in Jesus' ministry? There was two or three occasions at least where Jesus went to a fig tree and it was full of leaves. It was covered in leaves. But the time of figs was not yet. And he looked to find a fig on the fig tree that was full of leaves and found none. And remember that he cursed the barren fig tree. Now, that was a parable because Israel, the nation, in Jesus' day, they had an outward appearance of righteousness, but inwardly, they were not bearing spiritual fruit. Those leaves were the symbol of an outward appearance of good. But yet, when Jesus looked carefully, there was no fruit on that fig tree. And he cursed it, and it died. And so, we have to be careful that we follow after the Spirit and not the flesh. But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. The sinful nature that we have only does evil. It cannot do good. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. The inner man, Christ in us, the hope of glory, cannot sin, cannot do evil. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Our sinful nature cannot do good. There is none righteous, no, not one, Paul said. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit, Jesus said, would be hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, many well-meaning Christians, I believe, take this teaching out of its context and tend to scare people with a teaching that says if you don't do enough good works, you can lose your salvation, and that you'll be thrown into the fire and burned, thinking of hell, that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. But that's not at all what he's teaching. Remember other occasions of Jesus' teaching where he taught concerning the kingdom of heaven. And he says, in that kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. But those that are not entering the kingdom are cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now there again, many well-meaning Christians think that's talking about eternal hell. But I don't believe it is. I believe it's speaking about a hell on earth. As a child of God, when we follow after the flesh long enough and we are not in God's kingdom, we are in outer darkness in this world we're living in, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and we're hewn down and cast into the fires that this old world has to offer. But then he says in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. We are to inspect the fruit. Jesus had many grave words to say about those religious leaders in his own day. He said this in Matthew 3:10. Well, actually in Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, this is John the Baptist, Matthew 3:7, he said to them, O generation of vipers, serpents, who has warned you to flee from the wrath or the judgment to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, appropriate for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able even of these stones in the Jordan River where he was baptizing to raise up children unto Abraham. But he told them, John the Baptist told Israel, now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know, the nation of Israel as a nation was destroyed in 70 AD when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple. And that system of worship and that theocracy came to an end. It was cast into the fire. And we stand by faith today. For Paul taught this in Romans chapter 11. Beginning then in verse 20. Because of unbelief, they were broken off like trees and branches. They were cast into the fire. But we stand today by faith. Therefore, be not high-minded, but rather fear the Lord. Romans 11, now 21. For if God spared not those natural branches, that is, the nation of Israel in His day, Jesus' day, take heed, lest He also spare not thee, lest we also be cast into the fire. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them that fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness. But then he says, If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. There again, this is kingdom teaching. Living in the kingdom of God in this life. We stand by faith as the Gentiles that were grafted in against the natural branch of Israel. They were cut off because of unbelief, but we stand by faith. And we're to be humble and not high-minded because we also can be cast into the fire. If we are not faithful to Him. But then He also gives them hope in verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in again. For God is able to graft them in again. So isn't that a wonderful hope we have? So that is the teaching. By their fruits we know them. By their fruits. Apostle John gives us this test. I'll close with this in 1 John chapter 4. Beware of false prophets. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but rather try the spirits, whether they are of God or not. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. They are many. But then he gives us the test. Here's the mark of today's false prophet and teacher. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, for every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is come in the flesh is of God. And implicit in that is the teaching that Jesus is the Christ or the Anointed One. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus the Christ, Jesus Christ, is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. But then he gives great hope in verse 4. You are of God, little children, We belong to Him. And you have overcome them. Why? How? How have we overcome them? And how can we overcome them today? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's literally saying that God is greater than Satan. God created Satan, good, and he fell. But God who lives in your heart and mind, greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.